Father, this is a good day for Team GB. This is a good day for Foy. It's a good day for HMS Time. It's a good day for your kingdom. Let us expose good news and not bury it. Let us hear the word of God and receive it, that you might be glorified. Amen. I wonder how many New Yachtsmen. Woo! I wonder how many of you yachtsmen, is that a better volume? Have got a nice R and an I key fob on your yacht keys so that when you drop them into the sea by mistake, they don't sink. Whereby you can invoke the laws of physics that the average specific gravity of your keys becomes somewhat less than the average specific gravity of water. We live in a world that depends on the laws of physics, don't we? And as we head out to race this afternoon, I'm looking forward to the fact that the laws of buoyancy and gravity haven't changed overnight. That hydrodynamics is still the same as they were yesterday. And that the masters in the Met Office of Oceanography and Meteorology have given us roughly the right forecast. And that the designer of the yacht, whose skipper I'm grateful is going to take me sailing and safely to Flushing today, understands fatigue and wear. The laws of physics are steady. Can you hear me at the back? As we sail today, we're going to broadly sail our yacht as our designer has designed it to go. That is the way we're going to maximise the efficiency of our yacht, and our yacht's going to win, and look at you all astern of us. We're not going to hoist the foresail up the mainsail or drag a spinnaker overboard, at least not on purpose. This is what's so important at sea, that we harness the laws of physics. I don't suppose many of you have heard of small water area twin hull ships, swath ships which have two hulls above the water and two buoyant torpedoes under the water joined together by thin struts so that the smallest cross-sectional area cuts the waves of a sea. And it's where you cut the waves of the water of a sea, you make the waves and it gives you resistance to your hull. Swath hulls are really efficient. That's why nuclear submarines go far faster under the water than on the surface at the same power. It's why the Olympic breaststroke swimmers want to do as many strokes underwater before they come to the surface where they start making waves. We rely on God's unchanging physical laws of the universe. And you think you've got it licked, don't you, when you go down to the sea in ships and we've got it all sorted out. And we've listened to the forecast. But the bad news, ladies and gentlemen, is those master geniuses at the Met Office still have not yet managed, have they, to predict within their limitations the model of the weather, the four-dimensional multivariable differential equations that they use for the meteorology and oceanography. They haven't got it lit, but they could do, because the wind and the waves and the weather obeys God's physical laws. So if my skipper today could just master the weather better than all you other skippers, we're still going to win, aren't we? But there is still one missing, unpredictable variable. The crew. We humans are physically, mentally, and spiritually unpredictable. We don't conform to the physical laws of the universe, do we? So, skippers, your crew are your wild cards, however well trained we might be. Jim, thanks so much for reading that lesson today, and Steve as well. Old Testament that Steve read, reflecting New Testament. Three famous stories in the Bible of the water that you'll all record. The one we've read today, of Jesus calming the storm on Galilee. And a couple of chapters later, you remember the story of Peter walking on the water. And way back in the Old Testament, we have stories of where God parted the water to allow his people to go through. I wonder if any of you can remember how many times in the Old Testament the water gets parted. Think about it. You'll hear the answer shortly. But you have to stay alert. Now, are these stories just fairy tales? Are they fables or are they fact? And your response to that question may well line up to whether you think Jesus is a liar, a lunatic, or Lord. Men's hearts today are so often hardened to the one who creates the whole universe. Our society inoculates us in the spiritual dimension. And in the age of reason, we try and airbrush out God from everyday life. We make ourselves blind to God. And we miss the authority that God has in His Word. By His Word in Genesis chapter 1, the whole world came into being. God, who puts the stars into space, and for all you sat-nav freaks, the stars are still the safest navigation aid you've got. God, who makes the sun rise daily. And if you've had a middle watch, you know how good it is to see the sun rise and the bacon buses arrive on the bridge. God, who shows His power in the storm and the rain, as we know this week. And God, who sets the tides, which we will all manage to take into account today as we sail to Flushing. And you already know the time of high tide here in Foy next summer, don't you? Regatta Chairman, you can predict it. You know the time of high tide here in 2020 in Foy. Such is the stability of the universe and the laws that God has put in place. Isn't it great? A few years ago, I was sailing from Cape Town in South Africa across to Perth in Western Australia. As we set sail, the wind down there in the roaring 40s had been blowing for weeks and weeks at about 40 knots. Down there is no land, and the seas get bigger and bigger. And that lovely sunny Saturday afternoon with a strong westerly wind, the waves had got to 100 feet high. This isn't a fisherman's story. They were 100 feet high, but they were a mile from crest to crest. So it was the most gentle roller coaster motion as we went. It certainly wasn't dangerous. Big ripples, big pond. On the Sea of Galilee, as you have read, a violent windstorm came up and waves began breaking into the boat so that the boat was becoming rapidly swamped. Jesus was asleep in the back of the boat, asleep on a cushion. Jesus, the man, asleep on the cushion. But ladies and gentlemen, God never sleeps. And so the disciples woke him up and they asked him, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to die?" Well, that's a pretty stupid question, really, wasn't it? Here's a chap asleep in the back of the boat. "Don't you care if we're going to die?" Well, if he was fully human, he would care, wouldn't he? And if they only thought he was fully human, there's not much point waking him up, because they didn't think he could do much about it, did they? But if they understood, as many of them did, those disciples, that Jesus was also the Son of God, they woke him up because Jesus could make a difference. And Jesus got up and he rebuked the wind and he said to the sea, "Calm down, be still." And the wind stopped blowing and there was a great calm. Ladies and gentlemen, any of you here who are cynics today and don't really believe in the power of the living God in the year 2008, you can rationalize away why the wind suddenly stopped. Because all of us sailors know how quickly a wind can blow up and how quickly it can drop. But that day when I was sailing the roaring 40s down in the south, had the wind stopped that Saturday afternoon, those waves would have gone on for days and days and days, wouldn't they? They would not have been immediately calm. But when the Lord of creation stands up in the back of the boat and he points his finger to the waves and says, "Be still," and they are instantly still. That is the authority of God, speaking not in the natural realm, but supernaturally, above nature, and he who commanded the world into existence could say on the Sea of Galilee, "Be calm." And no one there on the Sea of Galilee that day could have doubted the power in Jesus' words. Well, not only does our God operate in the physical domain, he also operates in the spiritual domain. So as I've explained that God puts physical laws to govern our universe, God has also put spiritual laws in place. Leviticus 17, verse 11 says, without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. And you know, in the 21st century, we hate the big S word, don't we? We hate the big sin word. It's very non-PC. But back in 2001, when you heard that the Twin Towers had collapsed, I expect you said something about the terrorists who brought it down, that they were very wicked. Had there been a murder in Foy last night, you would call the murderer evil. The husband who beats his wife, you would call, well, all manner of names, wouldn't you? And the child who disobeys his parents, you call naughty. Where do we draw the line between that which is naughty and that which is unacceptable? What God calls sin. Because we're all guilty, aren't we, of making mistakes, saying nasty things, white-collar crime, if you like. In God's word, he says to us that we have all fallen short of his standards. That is a spiritual law in the universe. When I was a young officer in the Royal Navy, and I gave my life to Christ as a student engineer in Plymouth. So coming back to the West Country is a great thrill for me. We used to sail out to Plymouth, down this coast, across to France. It's my early days of yachting. I gave my life to Christ in a very deliberate act as a student in Plymouth. But before then, I worshipped other gods. I worshipped the God of my career. I was determined to be the most senior and youngest engineer in the Navy of senior rank. I worshipped my skiing. I skied with a Navy ski team, and that was a very big God. I worshipped my boats. I had a 505, yes, isn't that old-fashioned? And I had a Hobie cat as well later on in life. I worshipped my money. I worshipped the houses I owned. And then a good friend came to me, and he was prepared to sacrifice his friendship with me for the sake of my eternity. And David said to me, quoting from Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, Richard, what does it profit a man if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? And from that day on, I decided to worship the Creator, the Lord of the wind and the waves, the one of whom Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. But by me. Not by Osama bin Laden, not by Barack Obama, not by Buddha, but by Jesus. Of whom Peter would like later say in the Acts of the Apostles, there is salvation in no other name than in the name of Jesus. So as we charge around the camp today on our way down to Flushing, let's think carefully about all those things in the world we take for granted. And think too of the fragility of man and of our fallibility. And all of us who are down here in the West Country in 1979, we will never forget the Fastnet race that day, will we? That awful storms. Even those in Northern Ireland this morning are washing up after yesterday's storms, aren't they? People in Gloucester are still washing up after last year's storms. People in Boscastle have cleared up now, haven't they? But we cannot handle the wind and the waves that life throws us necessarily. Now, you may have decided to live a wild life now and plan to make a big change later. I want to give you two reasons why I suggest you don't. The first is you're going to miss out on living pleasurably on earth. If we're going to sail our yachts in the way that the yacht designer has designed them to be, then let's live our life as the way God, the designer, has created us to be. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and life in abundance. And I can bear testimony to years of walking with Jesus and living life in abundance, in design, in cohesion with the designer. And Paul, writing to the Corinthians, would later say, God is able to make every blessing overflow for you. Well, that's pretty good, isn't it? God is able to make every blessing overflow for you, so that in every situation, you will always have all you need for any good work. Why bother to go and invest anywhere else? Choose to maximize life on earth by living as the Lord intended. And the second reason, and this might sound a bit like a curse almost, we never know, do we, if we'll still be alive tonight. Those yachtsmen in the Fastnet race didn't know, did they? And if you're not, ask yourself, ladies and gentlemen, ask yourself how you'd convince God that you deserve a place in heaven with him. It won't be on account of all the good works that I have done or you have done. God loves each one of us equally. And it's a shocking thing to say that God loves Billy Graham as much as he loves that Austrian father who tied up his daughter for 31 years. He loves all that he has made. He loves you just as much. But the Bible tells us that God's love for us is not sufficient for us to spend eternity with him in heaven. Because he's also not just loving, but the ultimate judge. Very just. And so, do you know, the simplest thing we have to do is come before our God and say, God, I've screwed up in spades. I've made an absolute horrocks of my life. I've done this wrong and that wrong. I don't tell other people about it. I keep it well disguised. It looks good on the outside, but I know what I'm looking like on the inside. And all we have to do is accept God's forgiveness of our sins. Isn't that wonderful? Because God's purity cannot exist with our contamination any more than if you go down to Trelis Hospital, you expect any deadly viruses to be allowed into the operating theatre. That would be awful, wouldn't it? The medics get scrubbed up with the alcohol before they do an operation. My daughter was doing an ectopic pregnancy yesterday afternoon as an emergency operation on a patient in her hospital. She had to get scrubbed up to go in. All of us have to get scrubbed up if we're going to spend eternity with God in heaven, in his theatre of operations. And God's all-purpose cleaner for us is the blood of Jesus shed on the cross at Calvary. Spiritual law of the universe. Ladies and gentlemen, there will be no MRSA in heaven. You realise that? Man cannot be redeemed with his sins attached. Okay? We have to shed that unrighteous clothing and put on the righteous clothing. None of us would ever, in our sober moments, defy God's law, would we? And leap out of a serviceable aeroplane without a parachute. Any volunteers for that? We just wouldn't do it. We know it's stupid, don't we? We know that we need the air resistance of the parachute, similar to our spinnaker here today, to actually overcome gravity, increase air resistance, and then we'll float down gracefully to Earth, hitting planet Earth at 22 miles an hour rather than terminal velocity of 120 miles an hour. We'd never do it, would we? We wouldn't try and drive our car down the ramp on the ferry across to the other side, would we, when the ferry wasn't there? We wouldn't try and drive our car across the surface of the water. It's just stupid. And if we're not going to defy God's physical laws, why do we defy his spiritual laws? I can't recommend highly enough for any of you who are FOI people to come on the Christianity Explored course that is starting here on September the 24th. This is a great course for those of you who might be feeling a bit irritated or annoyed by what I've just said, because it probably means you're not absolutely confident that you are going to spend eternity with God in heaven. And that is our winning formula. This course is starting in September. And even if you're not from FOI, there'll be one near where you live. So as we sail the turbulent waters of life and navigate some of the hazardous entrances and exits in the harbours of life, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Let him be the headmark. Let him be the transit for your navigation plan. He who not only stilled the wind instantly, but flattened the waves. So let's go out today. And we are going to sail this race, ladies and gentlemen, aren't we? In our yachts, as the designer envisaged. We can't improve on his design, the yacht designs, much. We're going to harness the physical laws of the universe to give us maximum success. Because if we ignore those laws, we'll at least have dissatisfaction and at most, potentially grief. But let's go out this week as well, ladies and gentlemen, and live life as God's designed it. We can't improve on God's design, and many of us try to. Let's harness the spiritual laws to maximum success, because ignoring them could change it from eternity to being permanently breathing. And it's not very PC to say this, I know, but it's BC, and that stands for biblically correct. The choice is yours, the choice is mine. Are we going to be BC or PC, biblically correct or permanently condemned? Join a winning team, ladies and gentlemen, not just on the waters today, but a winning team in life. And the Bible tells us that success is guaranteed. Amen.
Richard, thank you very much. Our final hymn is therefore a prayer. O Lord, be with us when we sail. Please stand.